Father in heaven, thank you so much for hearing this prayer. Amidst the angel choirs, amidst the busyness of taking care of every single thing under this heavens, you have given us the opportunity to pray, and you can hear us. Thank you. Be with us now as we're gathered together. Help that the message of God from your holy word will be what comes into our ears and ultimately transforms us. We've studied already, Lord, Sunday night and Monday now. We're looking again into this holy book that you've given us.
Amen.
May your spirit teach us. Again, I ask that you would not trust me with a single word before your people hear. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I heard of a preacher one time that was standing up on kind of a platform like this, and he was running from one side to the other. Jesus is coming soon, he'd say again. Behold, I am coming quickly, the Bible says. Three times in the book of Revelation chapter 22, behold, I am coming quickly. And he says it one more time as he runs to the other side. I tell you, behold, I am coming quickly. And as he's preaching, he falls off the stage and lands on the front row on somebody's lap. And this dear old lady cries out, Pastor, you said you were coming soon, but I didn't know you were coming that soon. You know, if you turn up your Bible to the book of Revelation 22, you're going to see three times in this chapter alone, the very last chapter in the Bible, Jesus has said with his own words, behold, I am coming quickly. Revelation 22, look at verse 7. The Bible says, behold, I come, what? Quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. I have committed myself to studying the book of Revelation. I love the book of Revelation. It's a revelation of Jesus. And there's a blessing on those that study this book. I want to get that blessing. What about you? So it says in the next verse, verse 12, the Bible says, behold, I come, what? Quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his, what shall be? His work. You know, the Lord is going to judge you and is going to judge me by the works that we commit regularly. Every single day, we all make decisions. Based on those decisions, we are going to be judged. Now, we're not saved by our works. I fully understand that. But we're not saved without them either. Because the Bible says we're judged by our works. If we're only judged by our words, and all we said the rest of our lives was, I believe in Jesus, I want to go to heaven. I believe in Jesus, I want to go to heaven. I believe in Jesus, I want to go to heaven. And at the same time, you're stealing chickens for a living? You would not be loving Jesus because you wouldn't be stealing chickens for a living. That would be robbing somebody else and making somebody else not have the things that they need, etc. So it wouldn't make sense just to be judged by your words. You're judged by your works. So does your profession match up with what you do? That's the concept. Now look at the last one, verse 20. He which testifies these things says, surely I come, what? Quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Three times in the last chapter of the entire Bible, Jesus says three times, I am coming quickly. I think that's fairly interesting. What about you? Let's continue in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. So, John, he's writing in the book of Revelation. In fact, I want to give you a little clue. If and when you study the book of Revelation for yourself, it only uses the word revelation one time. How many times?
One
time. It says in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say it's a revelation of any other thing. It's a revelation of Jesus. And guess what? In verse 7 there, It says, behold, he, speaking of Jesus, he comes with what?
Clouds.
Jesus is coming with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Does that mean that I'm going to see him and you're not when he comes? What does that mean? That means every eye. What part of every don't you understand, right? In this case, it means every single eye will see him. And then it says, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So the Bible teaches that every single eye will see Christ coming in the clouds of heaven. Now, some of you may say, now, wait a minute, how is that possible? Our earth is round, and how could we see him coming all at the same time? Well, don't put words into the mouth of the scripture. It doesn't say all at the same time. Okay, but every eye will see him when he's coming in the clouds of heaven. That's the point. Now, let's continue on to the next section, chapter 6. I was going to touch on this last night, but I didn't refer to it, so we'll see a little bit about it now. Just to give you an idea of what the context is, you're talking about the seals in the book of Revelation chapter 6. Jesus, we looked at the first night, is as a lamb that had been slain, right? You remember that? Jesus is portrayed or symbolized as a lamb when it had been slain, okay? So the lamb in chapter 5 that we looked at opens the seals of chapter 6. When did he start opening them? When he was slain, a lamb as he had been slain. Now, you follow the seals, and just like in the book of Daniel that we learned about last night, the prophecy starts during the time of the prophet, and it continues on through history fulfilling. So the seals do the same thing, starting in the time of Christ, when he's a lamb as he had been slain, and then going on through until right here in verse 12. I beheld. Sorry, I'm going to skip to verse 14 because that's what it's talking about. But this is the sixth seal. There are seven. This is the sixth one. The heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Can you imagine for a second? When you came here tonight, did anybody see the moon? Wasn't that beautiful? I'm a graphic artist. I love beautiful things. And the moon tonight is beautiful. Take a look at it as you go. Can you imagine the heavens rolling back as a scroll? Perhaps you saw some clouds today in the sky. The clouds, the sky, the sun, the moon, everything is rolling back as a scroll. It says right there, the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Every mountain, every island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to those mountains and rocks that they were hiding under, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who is going to be able to endure this? You see, the first seal was when Jesus was as a lamb that had been slain. The sixth seal is talking about his coming. So we know that the seals progress through time. Don't let any preacher tell you that the prophecies all refer to the future or they all refer to the past. That is nonsense. It's not scriptural. Okay? So put that one in your head for later because somebody's going to bring it up. Now, we know from here that the heavens will depart, the mountains and the islands will be moved out of their places. Anybody ever been to Honduras? Nobody here? I was there for a series of meetings on one of the islands, the Bahia Islands. And I was preaching this message and I mentioned to them that the mountains and the islands will be moved out of their places. And so afterwards, one of the dear saints came up and said, Pastor Mesa, the Bible says that islands will be moved out of their places and we're living on an island. Should we move off this island? I said, no, because it says the mountains will be moved out of their places too. It doesn't matter where you're going to be. if the heavens depart, where can you go? Everybody's going to be involved in the second coming of Jesus. The Bible says he's coming with clouds and every eye will see him. I don't know of anybody who, if the sky starts rolling back and mountains and islands are moved out of their places, I don't know of a single person who's going to be sitting around saying, there's nothing going on today. Wonder what's for lunch. It's not going to be like that. Let's go to chapter 14. Chapter 14. The Bible says in verse 14 through 20. Now there's a lot of scripture here, a lot of symbolism, but let me explain to you. Some people have seen this scripture as though it's scary, okay? The reason being is they've watched too many dark and sinister movies. You've heard about like the guy that comes with the black robe on and he's got the scythe or the sickle in his hand, right? That's kind of scary. Freaks you out if you're thinking about that at night. Well, guess what? That's kind of a picture of Jesus, except he's not black, he's white. Notice what it says. Verse 14, I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud sat one like unto Jesus, the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand he had a sharp sickle. Why does he have this sickle? It says, another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud, which is Jesus, he thrust in his sickle and on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which was from heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Now this is the one that you need to be afraid of. It says there in verse 18, He came out from the altar, and he had power over fire, and he cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for the grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. And you can continue reading if you'd like, but look, notice what's happening here. When Jesus comes on the clouds, as it says right here again, okay, he's coming on the clouds, just like it says in chapter 1, verse 7. He will have a crown of victory. He's not coming as a lamb that had been slain. He's coming as a king to claim his own.
Amen.
And I plan on being one of those. What about you? Amen. I want Jesus to come for me because I want to be found faithful when he shows up. What about you?
Yeah.
Yes. So, what happens is Jesus comes on the clouds to reap the good harvest. And that's where I want to be. But there's another angel coming who says, hey, you need to reap the other harvest. And they need to be taken and thrown into the winepress and trodden in the winepress of the wrath of God. You see, when Jesus comes, there's only going to be two groups of people. There will be those that follow the Bible, those that love the Lord, and those that don't follow the Bible, those that don't care about the Lord. I've committed my life to know the Bible and to care about the Lord because he's done so much for me. How could I not study and learn and devote myself to one who has committed so much to me and to you? Every single one of us means more to God than his own life. He came down from heaven to live in Fresno, folks. Like if I were in heaven, I'd be like, oh, I'm not going down there. It kind of stinks. It's dirty. I got better food up here. You see? Like, who would want to do that? Love motivated God.
Amen.
To come down here.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Love motivated him to come down here so you could live. Why not study that? Why not learn about that? Why not take that in and let it change your life? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, chapter 19. We're still going through the book of Revelation. 19 and starting in verse 11. Well, start in verse 7, because that's what the notes say. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, that's Jesus, for the marriage of the Lamb, which is Christ, the marriage of Christ is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Do you know who the wife is in symbolism in the book of Revelation? The church. You see, Jesus is coming for the church, and it's this beautiful picture of this white garbed man that's on this white stallion, we'll read in a few verses here, and he's charging down from the skies with a crown on his head, coming to take his bride as a victor over evil. I love the story. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So now jump to verse 11. I saw heaven opened, just like we read in chapter 6. Heaven is departed as a scroll. Heaven is opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture or a garment dipped in blood, so he had a red on him as well. And his name is called the Word of God. The what?
Word of God.
The Word of God. Wait a minute. I thought this was the Word of God. It is. And so is he. You see, because my Bible says in John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So just as you're reading the Bible, you are literally reading about God himself. God is the Word. His name is the Word of God. In the beginning, God created, remember? And God said, let there be light. God said, let there be. God said, let there be. He created this earth with his Word. If we don't partake of this Word, we're not going to have recreated hearts. That's what it's about. Now listen. Verse 14. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth went a sharp sword. By the way, the sharp sword coming out of his mouth, if you look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. You can look at it now if you want to. I'm not going to turn there. I'm just going to let you know that the Bible teaches that the Word of God is quick and living, sharper than any two-edged what?
Sword.
Okay? So the sword is the Word of God coming out of his mouth. So it says there in verse 14. The armies, we already read that. So verse 15. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he would smite the nations, that he would rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God, of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Glory, hallelujah. So Jesus Christ is coming in the clouds of heaven. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, three times, behold, I come quickly. And so you're thinking, okay, you're logical. So you're like, okay, wait a minute. I've heard ever since I've been a kid, Jesus was on this earth almost 2,000 years ago, right? So quickly, 2,000 years, that doesn't seem like quickly to me. Well, guess what? Your life could end tonight. You ever thought about that? You could literally die tonight. And therefore, your time makes his coming that much sooner. If you die tonight, you won't have any more time to make decisions, you see? So yes, he's coming quickly for each one of us. As soon as I die, I can't make decisions anymore. My decisions have already been made up. So if you die tonight and you haven't chosen the Lord, the Bible tells me what the options are. We're going to be studying that later in the weeks. Okay, you gotta come. There's plenty to say, plenty to learn. So as far as I'm concerned, I've chosen the Lord tonight. I want to follow him. I want to learn his word, and I want it to change my life. So that when I, if God chooses, if he lays me to rest, if I die, I know where I'm going when he comes a second time. Amen?
Amen.
Alright, now turn in your Bible to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. You know, Jesus was on this earth for 3.5 years doing ministry. right at the end of that 3.5 years, he leaves his disciples. His disciples are standing around watching him leave. Notice the words. The words are so profound. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. The Bible says, "And when he had spoken what he had said," which is, you can just read the previous verses if you're interested, but when he had spoken these things, while they, what's the next word? Watched or beheld, depending on what translation you have. When they had watched, he was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight. A what?
Cloud.
A cloud read them, took them out of their what? Their sight. So as they watched, a cloud takes him up out of their sight. Are they seeing this? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. So it says there in verse 10, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up," so they're watching him still, "behold, two men stood by in white apparel." So, like, totally catch them by surprise. They said, "Hey, men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing up into heaven?" They were gazing, they were looking, they were watching. It says, "Well, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, he will come in the same manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Okay, wait a minute. So the angels that are standing by, at the time that Jesus is taken up, they said, "Now listen, you're watching and you're seeing Jesus go, right?" They said, "Yeah, that's amazing." And they said, "Well, guess what? Just as you're seeing him go, you're going to see him come. Every eye will see him, and he's coming with the what? The clouds." So we're going to learn later, if somebody tells you, "Hey, Jesus is coming secretly, nobody will know," you can be like, "Say what? My Bible teaches, and I've read it, that every eye is going to see him."
Amen.
And I challenge any of you to show me a scripture where it says that Jesus will come and it will be quiet or silent and nobody will know. Go ahead and find it. I challenge you, find it. We're going to go through some scriptures tonight where it talks about a thief, and you're like, "Aha! See? The thief! He's coming as a thief." We're going to talk about it. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, "The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and hath called the earth from the rising of the sun even to the going down thereof." God has spoken, and he has spoken to the earth, all of the earth. He has called with messengers like missionaries and pastors and neighbors and people that love the Lord. He's called through them all over the earth, and he says this, "Our God shall come, and he will not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it will be very tempestuous," which is like stormy. It will be very stormy round about him. Okay, so the heavens are going to break apart. The islands are going to move out of their places. The mountains will no longer be there anymore. The Bible says every eye will see him. It says that God will not keep silence, and there's going to be a fire that's going around him. And it's going to be quiet. It's going to be secret. It's going to be silent. Are you hearing what's going on in the Bible? It's clear. My God is going to show up and everybody's going to know it.
Amen.
Now, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Thessalonians, from the book of Acts, is toward the book of Revelation. And you might not find it right away, but keep peeking at it and you'll figure it out. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Now, this is amazing. "To you who are troubled," if anybody has given you trouble, "have rest with us." Okay? "When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed," what does the word revealed mean? Does that mean secret? Does that mean something that cannot be seen? No, revealed. "When the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that do not know God and that do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Whoa, wait a minute. Did you just say the Bible teaches that we're supposed to obey the gospel? I thought we're supposed to believe the gospel. There's a different word there. It's not believe the gospel, though yes, the Bible does teach that. The Bible also says that we're supposed to obey the gospel. Remember this we're not saved by works thing, but we cannot be saved without them? That's the idea. You can say, yes, Lord, I love you, and then you can go and commit adultery on your wife, right? Would that be showing love to the Lord by mistreating one of his children? Yes or no? Absolutely not. What if I said, Lord, I want to serve you, and then I go home and I slap my son and I slap my daughter? Would that be something the Lord would be pleased about?
No.
Would I face that in the judgment? Yes or no?
Yes.
Absolutely. Unless I stopped, repented, and confessed my sin, saying, Lord, change my heart. I don't want to do that anymore. Then the Lord would bless you, and that would come up in the judgment as covered by the blood of Jesus. So now listen. He's going to come in flaming fire. He's going to take vengeance on them that do not know God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction because of the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And the Bible says, when he comes, he will be glorified in his saints, his believers, and he will be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So if you believe the gospel, and if you obey the gospel according to this section, you're going to be saved, not destroyed, by the brightness of Christ's coming. Amen? Now, let's switch in for a second to our next thought. The Bible says it with me, or the Bible says, say it with me. Behold, I come as a thief. I said it in the King James. Say it with me again. Behold, I am coming as a thief. So that's in Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. A thief. I used to be a thief, honestly. I don't like to admit that, but along with my long hair and my drugs and my drinking and my being with the women and staying up for days at a time and doing all this other nonsense that I was involved in, I was a thief. Well, I got to sense what that was like. One time I had a skateboard that I had purchased. It was called the Psycho Stick, the Vision Psycho Stick. I loved this skateboard. In fact, what I did is I took a lot of time and I scratched off all the paint so it was just wood. And then I put some grip tape that was kind of like a camouflage style on the front. I had some yellow wheels. It just was slick. Well, so I was in Los Angeles. And my dad says, hey, there's some guys on a skateboard. Why don't you go over there and skate with them? I said, oh, Dad, this is Los Angeles, not where I grew up in Southern California, you know, a little small town. He says, come on, I'll be right here, just go for it. I said, all right. So I'm like 13, 14 years old. I grab my skateboard, I go over there, and I start skating, and I'm having a good time with these guys, and we're skating and going up the sidewalks and stuff. And so a couple of these guys, they come over, and they say, hey, man, that's a really cool skateboard. I said, hey, thank you very much. You know, I kind of like my skateboard, too. And so they said, well, hey, I'll tell you what, there's a really cool place right over here. Why don't you come skate? I was like, yeah, that's cool, right? Let's do that. So I skate over there, and they take me around the corner, and there was a really cool spot that I hadn't seen before. And so I go up it, and I come back down, and they said, well, you know, hey, try that again. Go up as high as you can. So I went up as high as I could, and I slipped off. Well, guess where, when you're skating, when you slip off, where does the skateboard go? Somewhere else, right? So as soon as I got up and I turned around, they are running across the green grass with my skateboard. Oh! Now, so for them, it wasn't really the manner of stealing. They didn't come like behind me and sneak it from me. It was the timing. They came by, and as soon as I was down, that's when they showed up and they took it. So I was, you know, kind of upset by that. And so Jesus is coming as a thief. Let's read for a second about when he comes as a thief. Well, turn to 2 Peter. I want you to look at this one. Turn to 2 Peter. It's not far from Thessalonians. Go a little bit toward Revelation. Hebrews, James, Peter. And you're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 3. And you're going to read about Christ coming. And how amazing that will be. Now, the Bible teaches in verses 9 through 11. This is, by the way, a scripture that refers to Christ coming as a thief. But right before it says that, in verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack. He's not like relaxed concerning his promise about coming, as some men count that he's being slack about it. But he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any of us would die or perish, but that all of us would come to repentance. You see, that's why he hasn't shown up yet, because he wants us to have more time to come to him. That's why you're here tonight. Amen?
Amen.
So it says in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come, and it will come as a thief in the night. You're like, ha, see there. There it is. It's going to be quiet. Well, let's check. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which night, right? It will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away, just like we read in Revelation, right? The scroll rolls back in chapter 6 and 19. It says the heavens will pass away with a quiet noise. It says it'll pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are around there therein shall be burned up. So wait a minute. I don't know of a single thief that comes into your house and drops a bomb. Boom! Says, I'm here, folks, and I'm going to steal your couch. Like, well, you should have not dropped the bomb, because now I'm up and I'm going to try to attack you, right? Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So thieves don't drop bombs when they come in to steal something, do they? So regarding the thief scenario, it's not the manner, it's the timing. He comes as a thief in regard to timing, not in regard to manner. He's not stealth about it, you see. He doesn't come into the earth and all of a sudden just grab his saints, turn around, and go back to heaven. It's not what God does. He shows up, it says, with great noise, with fire. He comes with earthquakes. There's going to be the destruction of the heavens themselves. The earth is going to move. The mountains and the islands and everything is going to be totally destroyed. And you think that's quiet? No way. Manner. I'm sorry, timing, not manner. We're going to continue looking. In fact, let's look at this for a second more. 1 Thessalonians, go back to where you were, because we were already in 2 Thessalonians. But go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to look at this section. The Bible says in verse 15 of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, we're not going to prevent them which are asleep. What does the word prevent mean? Give me another translation.
Precede.
Yes. Go before. Now, those that are asleep, I'm not going to spend time on it tonight. We're going to talk about it later. But let me just tell you, in this context, what it's meaning is those that have died. Okay? Those that have died. The people that are asleep in this specific context, along with many other sections of the Bible, talks about sleep. So let me just interpret it that way. Verse 15. I'm telling you by the word of the Lord that we which are living and remaining when the Lord comes, we're not going to precede, we're not going to go before those that have died. Verse 16. For the Lord himself, he's going to descend from heaven with what? With a shout. And what will he be on? The clouds and a white horse. Remember chapter 19 and 6 of Revelation? And also chapter 1, verse 7. It says, he will descend from heaven with a shout. Now, what thief comes walking into your house, opens the door, and says, hey, I'm here to steal something? You know? That doesn't work that way. So the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ, those that were asleep, the dead in Christ will rise when?
First.
It says, then we which are living and remain will be caught up together with those that have died, that have just been resurrected, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And that's where we're going to be ever with the Lord. Now let me break it down one more time. The Lord Jesus is coming with a shout. Okay? If we're alive, like say he comes tomorrow and we're alive, if he comes tomorrow, We're the ones that it's talking about that are alive and remain. Okay? So when he shows up, it says we're not going to go up there before those that have died. First, he's going to shout, and those that have died are resurrected. And then we, which are alive and remain, are caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And that's when we're ever going to be with the Lord. You can read it again and again and again and again. It will not change. The Bible teaches exactly what I just said. You see? So what's amazing is, he doesn't come like that as a thief. Now, I want to continue because this is so important. Look at verse 5. But of the times, wait a minute, times? Is that matter or timing? Timing. But of the times and seasons, wait a minute, seasons, is that matter or timing? Timing. So, of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, is that timing or matter? Timing. The day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Is that matter or timing? Not timing. Come on now. Times, seasons, day, and night. For when they say unto you peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child. That travail thing like we talked about last night in Matthew 24. And they will not escape. Verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Wait a minute. The day, is that timing or matter?
Timing.
So listen, every single time we're talking about the thief scenario, it is referring to the timing, not the matter. Because thieves don't show up and shout and drop bombs, do they? But they come when you're not expecting it. That's what it's referring to. The timing, not the manner. Now, let's go on. Matthew chapter 24, which we looked at, we talked about yesterday. Matthew 24. We're almost done here, folks. Don't get weird. Matthew 24, verses 23 through 31. We're going to read a lot of scripture here, but it's going to be quick. I'm just going to go through it, and we're going to refer to it on the run, if you will. Matthew 24, verse 23. It says, if any man says to you, hey, look, here is Christ, or there, over there. What does the next word say?
Do not believe it.
Do not believe it. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. What do you mean, Matthew? Well, just as I said, if somebody tells you, hey, Christ is over there, or hey, he's over here, don't believe it. Why? Well, because the rest of the Bible teaches that when God shows up, it's going to be with this explosion. It's going to be with the earth coming back or falling apart, basically. It's going to be with the sky rolling back. He's going to have a shout. You're going to hear the trumpet. The dead in Christ are going to rise. It's not going to be a silent thing. No way. No way. Not at all. So it says in verse 24, for there will come false Christs and false prophets. They were going to show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they will deceive those that are called the very elect. Now, we're not going to touch that, but basically, if you have accepted the Lord Jesus, and if you're following him with your whole heart, you're learning his word, and you're falling into a relationship with him, you are God's elect. He's elected you to be saved. He's elected everybody. Many are called, few are chosen. But notice, it says as we continue, verse 25, behold, I have told you before. In other words, I've given you these as prophecies. Verse 26, wherefore, if they say to you, hey, listen, he's in the desert. What does it say? Do not go there. Well, behold, he's in the secret chambers. What does it say? Believe it not. No way. Why? Because notice what it says in the very next verse. For. That word in the King James can be translated because. Because as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, in this way the coming of the man, the Son of Man, is going to be. You see? So it's like lightning from heaven shining from one end to the other. Everybody's going to see it. It says there in verse 28, for who, wherever the carcass is, that's where the eagles will be gathered. I'll talk about that later. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then shall appear the Son of Man in the sight of the Son of Man in heaven. And that's when all the tribes of the earth will mourn, just as we read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. With what? With power and great glory. My Bible teaches when Jesus comes, it will be with power and great glory. My Bible never teaches that God is coming silently. And guess what? Your Bible doesn't teach it either. But guess what? Many pastors will say that. Why? There's a lot of reasons why, but one of them is because there's a guy named Tim LaHaye that wrote a series of books, and it made some money and videos, and people have watched them, and it kind of became an interesting topic and believable by people that come to church, and so they're starting to believe these things. It's not scriptural, I promise you, okay? If you have questions, write them down. I will be happy to answer them. So it says there in verse 31, He will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, just like you read in Thessalonians. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So when God comes, it is not going to be quiet. He's going to have people that he's gathering from all over the world to take back to heaven to be with him. I want to be there, don't you? Amen. Turn to Isaiah 25, verse 9. Isaiah is in the middle of the Bible. If you turn toward Genesis, toward the beginning, you can almost find it by just opening it to the middle. Isaiah 25. You see, because there's going to be a group of people that the Lord comes for. Isaiah 25, verse 9. And I plan to be one of those people. It says in verse 9, it shall be said in the day that the Lord comes. Hey, look, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. How many want to say, Lord, I want to wait for you on this earth while I'm living? I want to be here, and when you come, I want to go with you back into heaven. Let me see your hands. Lord, take me. Amen. 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 Now God has revealed to you tonight that when he comes, he's coming to take a harvest to heaven. But there's another harvest that will be gathered during that same exact time. You can read it again for yourself in Revelation chapter 14. And I'm telling you, only one of those harvests is going to heaven. The Bible gives a lot of illustrations, a lot of parables, if you will, showing that there's going to be two groups of people on the earth when Jesus comes. There will be the righteous. There will be the wicked. There will be the harvest of the earth that is ripe and the harvest that is thrown into the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. There's going to be the sheep. There's going to be the goats. There's going to be the wheat. There's going to be the tares or weeds. God gives only two scenarios at the end of time. You're either going to be committed to Christ and you're going to follow him, or you're going to be lost. I promise you. So I beg you, listen to the preacher. Pick up the word of God for yourself. Read it after praying that God will teach you what it's saying to you.
Amen.
Because God cares for you.
Yes.
He wants you to be saved.
Amen.
And he wants you to be with him throughout all of eternity. Amen?
Amen.
The reason I am a Christian today is because my mother was faithful in praying for her son.
Amen.
As a result of her prayers only. I'll tell you my story sometime. That's why I became a Christian. I believe that with all my heart. So I'm grateful to my dear mother. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Now listen, you guys have committed to God. You've raised your hand saying that you want to be ready when Christ comes. I've challenged you to study the Bible for yourselves and to pray, asking God to teach you what it is the Scripture is saying. So now let's do ourselves a favor and close our eyes. Let's commit ourselves right now in prayer to the God of heaven and earth. Holy Father, I beg of you to guide and bless us. You have called us tonight to understand from your holy word what it means at the end of the world, the apocalypse, what it's going to look like. It's going to look like total destruction. You've told us the mountains and the islands will be moved out of their places. You've told us the heavens will roll back as a scroll when it is rolled up together. You've told us you're coming on a cloud or that white horse as well. You've told us that the armies of heaven will come with you. You will come with great power and great glory, the Bible teaches. You will come with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise up. And Lord, we want to be there. We want to be taken by you up into that cloud. We want to live with you forever. And thank you so much for teaching us tonight, exposing us to this truth. Help us now to study for ourselves what the scripture is saying, that we can know if somebody is teaching what's right and somebody's teaching what's wrong. Thank you for your love, Father. Guide us, we pray, in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.